Well, listeners, it's now that time of the program where I have the honor and privilege to introduce our guest of the day to you. And today, a very, very important topic. We're going to talk about grief during the celebration season and how to handle your pain while there is celebrating the birth of Jesus and there's family around you. How do you cope with all of this? To help me, I have a very dear friend, mentor, inspiration of mine, Pastor Derek Schroeder. Good day and welcome to Elevated.
Thank you very much, Jenalee. It's great to be on your program. In fact, I was looking forward to chat to you. So thank you very much.
Now, I know you well, and I mean, you've also played a significant role in my life when I was much younger. I don't think the listeners need to know all that detail, but for those who don't know you, Pastor, just give us a bit of a background on who Pastor Derek is.
Generally, I can be brief on that one. I'm originally from Worcester. I think that's the place that both of us spent some time. And I think you had some of your younger years there. So I was born in Worcester, grew up in Worcester. And then I left Worcester to go and study at the University of the Western Cape, where I became studied for social work. I went back to Worcester, where I practiced as a social worker for many years until I was promoted to the Department of Social Development at the head office in Cape Town. And for the last, I left the department, I think it was 2012, when I decided to go into full-time ministry. I've been in ministry for many, many years, and I joined the Lighthouse then as an area pastor, but now at the moment I'm the senior pastor of the Lighthouse in Peru. I was married to Rika, who is a young lady from Robertson. Yeah, and we were together married for almost 30 years. Sadly, she passed away 3 years ago in 2018. I was also blessed with three beautiful children. My daughter, who is 17 years old, passed away in 2009, and I still have two sons, respectively 24 and 30 years old, my two sons, which I'm really thankful for. Presently, I'm in Cape Town, and as I said, I'm at the Lighthouse in Peru.
Now, I want to take you back to something you just mentioned, which is, first of all, your transition from government social development into full-time ministry. How did you know it's the right time and the right call?
Look, generally, I was for many years, when I was very young, when I accepted the Lord in my life. I mean, I was 13 years old when I made my commitment to Christ. And obviously, since very young, I knew, and it was confirmed in many ways by many people, that there's a calling on my life, that God going to use me in very special ways. And I had the opportunity to decide, you know, am I going to study, you know, theology or go to Bible school, or I'm going to study social work or one of the other professions. I ended up studying social work. But I always had a calling on my life. I always knew that God has a purpose with me to minister and to work with people and to impact and influence people. So it was natural. It was already there. It was given by God. And then obviously I went and worked in the marketplace, joined the government at the time. But you know, if the calling of God is on your life and you know that he has a bigger plan, you just wait for the opportune time, the transition to the next season in your life. And when it happened, it was the right time. I knew it. I had confirmation in my spirit. I had other people that mentored and coached me, that prayed with me for long in my life, and agreed and said that, you know, they sense that they're in agreement that this is the right thing to do. And when I look back, it's now almost 10 years that I'm full-time. Wow. On staff, and I can tell you, God has been awesome, faithful, and great, and I'm thankful to him.
Incredible. And when I hear you speak about your boys, you are always so proud of them. One of them followed in your footsteps, of course. I'll get you to talk about that now in a bit. And then your other son, well-known rugby player, these days a TV personality himself, Rick. Tell us a bit about your boys and the beautiful relationship you as a single father have with them.
Yeah, you know, I'm thankful, obviously, for my late daughter, Cheryl, and I still miss her a lot. She will always be special in my life. Together with her, I have these two beautiful sons that are a real blessing from God. You know, the word says in Psalm 127 that sons and children, I believe, is a blessing from the Lord. And I can tell you, Clyde is my youngest son. He followed in my footsteps. Like you said, he became a social worker. He works at a center where they are focusing on people that are in addiction or addicted and doing remarkable work at the specific place where God has placed him. And he's a blessing in my life. He's really very supportive. And, you know, when I look at him, I see me. Mm-hmm. And I can say the same about Rick, the elder brother. You know, being the eldest, you know, he's really taking leadership together with Clyde. They're just a blessing. Rick has been a professional rugby player for many years. The beautiful story of that when he made that decision that it's time for him to move into the next phase of his life, that was also the right time when he could come back home, spend time with his mother and us. And I mean, just a short time after that, spending wonderful time with his mom, she passed away. So, yeah, I'm thankful. Like they say in Afrikaans, hulle hou my op my tone, my twee seuns generally.
Listen, Pastor, now let's go back to the time when you lost your daughter. Because she passed on before your wife. And at that time, your boys were still young. How did you help your boys through the grieving process and how to really process the loss of their sister?
Yeah, I must tell you, it was very, very tough for us as a family. I've always heard people say, and for all the ou mense het altyd gesê, dis een van die seerste en die moeilikste dinge om 'n kind aan die dood af te staan. One of the most very difficult and challenging things is to pass with a child, you know? And it was tough on all of us. But I can recall one of my boys said, you know, the wonderful part of our journey of grief, if I can say wonderful, is that we allowed each other to grieve in our own way. I never forced them to do or to grieve the way that me or their mother or anybody else, you know, I allowed them the space to grieve in their own way. And we were just supporting each other. I was sensitive for their feelings. They were sensitive for my feelings. We had times that we laughed. We had times that we cried. We had times that we just had to be quiet and we needed some space, as they say. And that was amazing. That was what keep us going. Obviously, is our faith in the Lord, the knowing that we know. And one of the most beautiful things that somebody said to us in that time is the scripture that says that out of beauty, ashes will rise. At that moment, we didn't understand that really the impact of it. But in retrospect, you know, supporting each other as a family, allowing space for one another. We could see the end result was that really out of the ashes beauty came.
And Pastor, as a social worker, but also as someone who's experienced this yourself before, what advice would you have for parents who's trying to help their children through the process of grief? I mean, we're in a season now where people have just passed on in the past 2 years in our lives, and we were not really equipped on how to handle grief. I love what you said. You allowed them, or you guys allowed each other to grieve in your own way. But what other advice would you have for parents?
I think what is important for for parents specifically, because I know it's very tough if you have younger children, and depending on the age of the children, obviously. But I think what is important is just to be supportive to them, you know, where they are and what's happening with them, you know, is to come around them and to let them know it's fine what you're experiencing. It's fine. Don't try to explain to them every detail of what they are going through. Just be there. Just be present. Just be supportive. And obviously they will have questions, but then choose the right time when you respond to some of those questions. I think that's very, very important. And I think for parents, it's also important to listen and to hear what are your child saying, you know? What are your child experiencing, you know? Sometimes we want to jump to answers and conclusion and give clarity or say things, you know. I think the one thing that we need to watch is our words. And not only our words, but how do we respond to some of their concerns. Obviously, we need to be on the watch out for other things when they become too quiet, other symptoms, which you can see that they are really struggling. And my advice to people is normally to say, get some help, speak to somebody else, get some good advice of how to deal and how to grieve and how to provide that support to your children. But be present, allow them to speak to you and listen and understand that just as it hurts you, it hurt them, you know, the passing on that love. And they had a different relationship. I think that's also the other important thing. Your relationship that you have with the brother or the sister or the child is different than the relationship that they have. I just buried somebody, a grandmother, over the weekend, and I could see the impact that the passing of a grandmother that lived in the house had on the grandchildren. And sometimes we underestimate that, you know, and we need to understand that the relationship plays a very important role. And the depth of the relationship.
Absolutely. And then, Pastor, years later, the three of you now had to go through the grieving process of your wife together. They now lost their mother. You lost the love of your life. Tell us about that and how it happened.
Yeah, generally, that was a tough one. Look, my daughter passed on because she was challenged with chronic kidney failure. And that was very sad. And then my wife had a similar diagnosis. So I mean, it again, it was different, you know, losing a child and losing a partner, a woman that was a mother, a wife par excellence, you know, a real, you know, camaraderie was there. We supported each other. We did everything together, I think. And not only myself and Rika, but we as a family. I mean, we were that family. Wherever you see the one, you see the others. We're always around together. If it's now ministry, if it's now just going on a holiday, having a party, doing something with the family, it's always all of us together most of the time. So it was very, very tough for us as a family. And again, I must say, something that helped me a lot, and I can say it to our listeners, is after Cheryl's passing, somebody introduced us to a support group for parents that has lost children. And after a few years, we went through our own journey of recovery. The Lord actually led us to start a support ministry in our own church to help parents, which ended up that we helped not just parents that lost children, but families, you know. And I mean, this is now almost 10 years down the line. And I can tell you the stuff that's happening in that group and the people that came through it. It's just amazing to hear the testimonies, to hear how people's lives have been impacted. So yeah, and Rika was with me in that ministry. We were helping people, counseling, supporting, praying for people, coming together in a group, having a program running where we talked about things, where we give advice and support. So what I'm saying to you is that, and the children were with us. They were journeying with us. So I think what is very, very important is to take each other along on the journey. And amazing, and that I can tell you, after Rika's passing, guess who was the people that supported me, that helped me? It was that group that we started after Sheryl's passing. It was those people that came around us, that we've built their capacity, trained them, and they became the people that now then supported me. I physically said to them, I'm not going to be now the leader of the group. I'm taking time out and I'm going to be part as a participant. Mm. And we run it over 6 weeks. And I said to them, for 6 weeks, I'm going to sit down and you and others are going to speak into my life and help me through my journey.
And I want to talk to you about the festive season. This is something that I see even in my own community, my spiritual family around me. As Christmas is approaching and the December holiday is approaching, people are starting to wonder, how are they going to handle this festive season, seeing that either they lost a husband, a sister, a cousin, a grandmother over the past year, or perhaps they've not lost them to death, but maybe they are separated by distance, or maybe because lack of finances, they can't get to them. How do we handle celebrating in the midst of loss?
Wow. Generally, I think that is a very, very important question. And we've even dealt with that within our support group gatherings. You know, how do you deal with special days? Because it's not just Christmas, you know, it's Easter time. It's your anniversaries. It's your child's birthday. It's the celebrating many things, achievements. And I want to say, you know, one knows that is going to come. Mm-hmm. One knows it's Christmas. One knows it's Easter. One knows it's an anniversary or the birthday coming. I normally suggest to, and that's what we did, I normally suggest to people, do something special because you know it's going to happen. You will most probably have mixed feelings. You'll feel ambivalent. You have mixed emotions. You might feel you want to cry. You might feel you don't want to talk about it. But, you know, I say to people, you can celebrate that time, but plan around it and plan around your loved one. Plan around the person that's special to you. Do something where you commemorate, where you celebrate something special. I can tell you now to the listeners that Sheryl was 17 and she turned 21. And, you know, practice in our community, Jesus, we want to celebrate 21st.
Yes.
And you know what? On Sheryl's 21st birthday, and that was 4 years after her passing, we celebrated her 21st by unveiling her tombstone. Mm. And my wife and I, and it was very therapeutic. It was very, it brought healing. It helped us in our journey of recovery. My wife designed Sheryl's tombstone, which is now also her tombstone, because she's buried in the same grave. But just to say that on the tombstone, I wish I could send you a picture, but there's music notes, there's flowers, and there's this beautiful inscription that says, many daughters has one done well, but you outclassed them all in Proverbs. So we celebrated. We had the unveiling. And yes, we cried. And yes, we had some sad moment. But after that, family got together, we had a meal together, and we gave honor to God. And we could share some of our experience in our journey for the last then 4 years. So, you know what's going to happen? Do something special. I know of a family that I just was involved with, the laying to rest of a father, remarkable man. And just in the week, the wife called me and she said that she want to do something special with his clothes because he had beautiful, good clothes. Mm. And she want to make it special. And they thought because it's Christmas and it's his birthday, they want to donate some of his clothes to some institution where there is men that are struggling and that does not have access to that. And I said to her, let's make it special. Do something special. I'll arrange for you. You go there, you take a picture, yeah, and you celebrate his birthday. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to the world listeners, do something special around that day. Yes, there will be sad moment maybe, but there will also be a moment where you can say, we honor the legacy of a great child, a great husband, a great wife. It's not easy, Christmas time, but it can be a time of saying thank you, gratitude, and celebrating the good of your family member, your loved one.
And I always say, Pastor, what helps me is that scripture. I'm not sure where it is right now, that says we don't mourn as the unwise, because we understand exactly what happened to them. We know where they are. They are in heaven. So as Christians, we mourn a bit differently. In fact, we celebrate that they've managed to reach where we're all trying to get in heaven. And in heaven, my grandmother who passed away, for instance, she's not looking down at me thinking, why are you celebrating Christmas and laughing while I am no longer there? No, she's in heaven in the presence of God. And the greatest gift we can give them is to celebrate and live life to the fullest.
Absolutely. I normally say that when I do officiate a funeral, I say, you know, our loved one is fine. They're okay. It's we that are of concern, and it's we that sometimes struggle, you know, but they are fine. And I think they're fine if we honor their legacy, if we celebrate their life, if we are happy. And I think that is, I know it's not easy. I know the first Christmas, the first Easter, the first anniversary, the first birthday is always a little bit of a soet, bitter oomblik. Maar it's great in the sense of we celebrate the life of somebody very dear and special to us. And I can't emphasize enough to say that out of our beauty, ashes come. You know what? You know, we know that joy comes in the morning. Weeping comes through the night, but joy comes in the morning.
That is the sound of Pastor Derek all the way from Cape Town. We've run out of time, but I do want to ask you this. What advice do you have for family members around those ones who might have lost someone? You know, you sometimes get some of us who can be a bit unwise and say things like, ah, get over it, man. It's been a year now. Move on. What is it that we can do to help our loved ones who are still in the process of mourning?
I think the most important thing is try to understand that they are mourning differently. Don't judge them. Don't push them away. You know, understand, care for them, love them, because you must understand that they had also a unique relationship with the one that has passed on. And as I say, engage, help them through the process by asking, what can I do for you to make it easier for you? Instead of saying, get over it. You know, the last thing that you want to hear if you have to deal with the passing of a loved one is to hear, get over it, you know. I think it's very, very important that we need to be sensitive with our words. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need to not just have sympathy, but to have empathy, to place yourself in the shoes of that person that had a very unique relationship with that loved one that has passed on, and pray for them. Encourage them from the word and connect them to some other people that you know that are going through a similar situation or journey. Thank you, Jenna Lee. It was really great chatting to you. And always reach out for help. You don't have to go through this on your own. God is your helper, and He can give people in that has a grace and a passion that are willing to be there for you and support you, to our listeners. Thank you, Jenna Lee.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor Derek. And I want to say that I really appreciate your time. And I also want to put you under pressure on air by telling our listeners they must look out for your book. Your book is going to come out soon, and it's going to be incredible.
Definitely. Can I just say, and I've got a great mentor in you in that regard. And I really want to say to you, I enjoy your program when I have time. I enjoy listening to it. Thank you for the great work that you and the radio is doing. May God bless you and also strengthen your ministry. Thank you very much for the opportunity. God bless.
Thank you so much.